Hey, I'm Nicolas Maigret, he's Brendan Howell, and we are both artists and programmer. We will present the Pirate Cinema project. So basically, the Pirate Cinema is a computer program that is intercepting the peer-to-peer flow on the BitTorrent networks. It makes the inner working of the BitTorrent protocol visible, and it shows the overgrowing digital surveillance. It's also a kind of tribute to, let's say, the file-sharing culture. It offers a real physical experience of the information flows and shapes the ongoing peer-to-peer activity as a ready-made audiovisual composition. So we can show you a quick presentation. So we'll explain a bit the technique, but first we wanted to introduce the context, more global context. From an art history perspective, this kind of approach already existed, like let's say within the historical avant-garde. the question could be, how can we create and show the world through the language and the technology of our time? It's something that Dziga Vertov already states in his Kino Ai manifesto in 1923. Maybe you can read it?
Okay. You want me to read the quote? Yeah. Okay. I, a machine, am showing you a world, the likes of which only I can see. I free myself for today and forever from human immobility. This is I, the machine, maneuvering in the chaotic movements, recording one movement after another in the most complex combinations. Freed from the boundaries of time and space, I coordinate any and all points of the universe wherever I want them to be. My way leads towards the creation of a fresh perception of the world. Thus, I explain in a new way the world unknown to you.
So, at his time, he was talking about the camera, but it's something we can extrapolate quite easily to contemporary technology. It's also an approach that has been developed in art history later, like with the cut-up, the letterist, the mashup. We can show more examples in details. So, for instance, in the field of musical cut-up, a very interesting example is with Milan Knizak in the 60s, that was actually cutting and pasting pieces of vinyl. So he was constructing a composition, but from actually breaking the support, the medium, the musical medium, and making new object and potential sound composition, all of it. Later, John Oswald was doing a little more musical version of this, with a cutting and pasting samples and pieces of cassettes, CDs, and doing actual songs out of it, out of this method. The other aspect, which is even more related to this project, is the question of working with live interceptions. For instance, John Cage, in his... for instance, John Cage in Variation 7 was using TV, radios, and JJ counter, and the performer were free to switch on and off these live streams. More recently, Robin Rimbaud, also known as a scanner, was doing live interceptions of phone calls and use it to make concerts and records and so on. From a maybe more technocultural perspective, the pirate cinema also refers to larger media culture changes that happened after World War II. The first example will be with the Xerox technique from the 60s, where it allows to reproduce documents, books, images, and other copyrighted documents. Then the same kind of example in the music will be the tapes, where it allows people to record, archive, and duplicate existing copyrighted material. And a little closer to our context here, the crack scene was quite important in that field, especially for the software and game industry, where it allows copyrighted material to spread using a disk and later the network. And for a larger audience, the file sharing over peer-to-peer, so with a technique like Napster, Emule, BitTorrent, allows people to share and exchange a large categories of content, images, movies, PDFs, ebooks, and so on. So this project is somehow a tribute to this kind of shift in content distribution. From the surveillance perspective, this project proposes an ambiguous insight into peer-to-peer activity. It clearly refers to control and surveillance topics. The Pirate Cinema proposed the viewer to somehow sit at the crossroad of users' activity. It reminds somehow the Panopticon, where the concept was to allow a single watchman to observe all inmates of an institution. The Pirate Cinema also silently reveals the content of peer-to-peer file sharing. So Brendan will maybe continue and explain the way it refers to the black chamber.
Mm-hmm. So here's so on the left you can see Louis the 15th, and then on the right there's Fort Meade in Maryland. And in a way, you could say that Louis the 15th had his own Fort Meade, and it was called the Cabinet Noir, which was the black chamber, where they would open the letters of if somebody was somehow suspect, or if they thought maybe this guy is hanging around with the wrong crowd, they wanted to know who it was. So they had these various pretty advanced for that time techniques of opening sealed letters and copying down what was written and then resealing them and sending them on so that the recipient wouldn't know that somebody was looking at their post. So this is one thing that, I guess everyone's pretty aware of now in the last year, and I suppose everyone in this room has probably been aware of it for longer than that. So it's one thing that in some ways has kind of ruined the party for BitTorrent, because you have what is a very democratic principle that everyone participates equally on the network, but it'll means that you have to essentially publish your IP address in order to participate in the swarm. So certain media companies and their henchmen have caught onto this, and they've developed these copyright alert systems. So you have one called Mark Monitor, which basically joins BitTorrent networks and starts collecting IP addresses and then matching those up to databases with ISPs, and then they send nasty letters to the ISPs and try to then use whatever, depending on which jurisdiction you're in, then hit people with various different civil or legal consequences.
So the Pirate Cinema used the same security weakness, let's say, the transparency of most peers' IP addresses and the transparency of the chunk request on the BitTorrent protocol.
Okay, so we thought maybe we could make this this process more transparent and figure out how we could essentially watch movies from the perspective of the computer. And so we built a sort of copyright surveillance machine. Essentially, each, here you see three of them, they're little Mac minis running Linux, plugged into video projectors. And they're then plugged into a router connected to a standard DSL link. And each of the Linux servers runs a custom torrent software. And in order to cover our own asses, as well as that of the gallerists and people who wanted to actually exhibit the work, we decided to use a VPN. In this case, it was iPredator, although now it's have a hard time paying for it, so we've switched another one, but initially that was the idea, and it was also consistent because we were sourcing our lists of media. Basically, it was going down the Pirate Bay's top 100 lists of most popular torrents.
So basically, each computer would download every day the top 100 list of the most shared videos, and each of them will become a torrent server and client, and they will display the chunks request as they go.
And just in case anyone isn't totally familiar with the BitTorrent protocol, I know a lot of people here probably are, but that when you join a swarm to download a particular file, you get sort of an arbitrary list of chunks of the file. So you don't get it in, you don't start downloading from the first frame and go through to the end of the movie. You're getting things in an arbitrary order. And if you join multiple swarms, then it's going to be interleaved. So that's why you're seeing, what you're seeing on the screen is actually exactly what's coming down the network pipe, at least as close as possible as we can get to that. So maybe I'll show a little, this is somewhat simplified, but hopefully it's understandable. So we have our individual Linux PCs. They're essentially independent from another. And they've got a list of the top 100 files or torrents from the Pirate Bay, and they sort of randomly pick ones, and they're downloading somewhere between 2 and 6 at a time. And that's one process. It's a bit of Python code that's using the libtorrent library. And it's essentially keeping track of what's being downloaded and where it's coming from, and then also what we're uploading and who we're sending it to. And anytime a chunk comes in, then it sends a message using 0MQ to another process that's a video player, which is also written in Python using GStreamer, which then tries to play back this chunk that we've just downloaded. So that's what you see coming out the projection.
Okay, and then the on-screen display is just an old school XOSD, and it's the input is just the translation of the IP address using GO2IP. So we basically, for each chunk, show the peer we got it from and the peer we are sending it to. Okay, and so for us, this project is not so much a scientific hacking or design study. We rather see it as an activator of analogies, imaginary field, or mental representation. It's also a playground for experiencing today audio and video structures, texturas, or behaviors. The technical aspect is, let's say, a mean of work and not especially an end.
Yeah. And that, I wanted to mention that in some ways it's kind of interesting. I mean, maybe it's because we spent way too much time looking at this stuff as we were debugging it. But Nico, I remember one day we were on Skype talking about this, and you mentioned that in terms of sort of like, you know, classic film analysis stuff, you mentioned that in a way it was hard to tell the difference between the music video clips and the porn clips, that they had almost the same cinematography and like sort of motion and acting and stuff. That was really weird. Anyway, there's a bunch of these things that sort of emerge from it that are sometimes interesting in terms of like a cultural analysis that you normally wouldn't come to just by watching TV or whatever films in a conventional way.
The funny thing also is that there is very small traffic coming from Germany because of the legislation, which is quite hard here. So when you look at the GO2IP address, where it's coming from and where it goes to, there is hardly no Germany. And the same for China, because they are using different process. As for instance, you can buy a DVD at the corner of the street for €1 or something. So they are not using as much as we do. Okay, so it seems to be time for Q&A.
Oh, you have 10 more minutes.
Oh, we have 10? Okay.
Yes.
Do we have more? more slides?
Okay, that was it, actually. So we can do a longer Q&A.
Okay, so we have some mics for Q&A. Just line up. Also, if you're on the stream, there's ISC and Twitter. So, questions. Internet, any questions? Okay. Well, that's embarrassing. Okay, just go ahead. There's a mic.
Hi. I saw that on the screen, the video
was... Could you please talk into the mic?
Sorry. I saw on the screen that the video was very watchable. But how do you manage the bandwidth problem, or how do you regulate the bandwidth to have enough chunk to see something, but not enough to flash the user?
I think some of it is we just got lucky in that the standard chunk sizes for torrent files were... Although we did have problems with that, because we were looking at pieces and chunks are slightly larger, so we decided that we would monitor chunks, because then you had enough data that it wasn't just one frame. And also in terms of processing, the I/O, it starts to just eat up your CPU, and you can't see anything visually interesting then. But yeah, in some ways it's just a coincidence that it worked out that way.
So usually a chunk is like a quarter of a second or something like this, and that's actually the time scale we that you can see in the video.
Hello, did you try to curate it by content? So let's say only black and white movies or movie noir, or maybe just like where you said you found out like that video clips and porn is almost the same, just like put more content together, not going for the top 100, but making like more one piece out of many, which goes into the same direction.
Mm-hmm. So the short video presentation you just saw is a, let's say, the installation version, which is just going by itself. We also worked on a concert version, audiovisual concert version, where it will be the idea. So exactly what you are talking about, to drive a little more the focus or the view in the time. So this concert will be structured in different parts, and each part will be a focus on a different aspect of the peer-to-peer sharing activity. Mm-hmm. So let's say one part could focus on the music sharing, and another part could be about ebooks or about maybe totally obscure documents or stuff like this.
Okay, thanks.
There's a question in the IRC. What the future of peer-to-peer file exchange, new net-based tool?
Could you repeat that?
For sure. What is the future of peer-to-peer file exchange?
Oh, I don't know if.
For example, a new GNU net-based tool.
Oh,
yeah.
So actually, the history of BitTorrent peer-to-peer exchange is reaching its end, because. This weakness, for instance, in security that we are using is quite a big issue, because it's the actual input that are using the company to have a lawsuit over peers. So the technology has to change. Also, the darknets are developing right now, so there are a lot of ways to exchange files outside the classical BitTorrent system. For instance, retro shares, or even we can go back to the old FTP systems and so on. But the actual way that peer-to-peer works has some issue right now.
Yeah, so I think it's hard to... predict. Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead.
How did the people react to the installation? Did you receive any feedback from the public?
So it really depends where you show it. For instance, when the installation was shown in Montreal, the organizer were super open for the project, and they were like, okay, and you could even add porn and put whatever you want. It has to be really radical, and everything has to be included in the project. And for instance, the other time I presented the project, it was never possible to show any porn. So we were just filtering by categories and listening to only other categories. Another interesting example is the time when I showed it in China. The reaction of people was super interesting, because for them they first said, "What mean pirate? It's like what? It's being a pirate to just share a file or to just download a file? What does it mean?" And the base of the project, or the base of the terminology of the project, is already something weird. And for them, they didn't exactly get the point, because you can share and download things whenever you want. The equivalent of Google in China, you can, from the start page, you can type a song or a movie or a book, and you can have the actual link to just download it. So it's totally outside of the logic when you show it there.
I think we have time for one last question.
Yeah, another question from the IRC. Why didn't they anonymize the IP addresses?
So actually, it's something that more and more users are doing. Brendan explained that in the project we are using a VPN. So this choice, we made it just because when we show it on specific places, we didn't want it, the IP of the gallery or something to be overexposed 24 hours a day with the 100 top most shared files. But that's actually what more and more users are doing. So that's a way, using a VPN for all of your connections. I think that's it. So a lot of users are doing it.
I think the question was more why you not anonymize the IP addresses of the other people, like those that you showed.
Oh, actually those IP are totally transparent. Whenever you launch a BitTorrent client, you just choose any file and you will see the 20 or 100 IP you are connected with. So that's part of the system. It's totally transparent all the time. We are just showing parts of it, but it's here, already available.
Yeah, and we assumed that the police weren't going to come to our gallery show and start writing down IP addresses. I think it's safe.
Thanks.
Okay, please thank our speakers, Nicholas and Brandon.